Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. We're talking about our addiction to sin. And what sin are we talking about? We're talking about the sin of coveting thy neighbor's goods. And how do we do that? Well, we desire men who call themselves benefactors to go to our neighbor's house and take from our neighbor enough resources to supply us with benefits. It's called socialism. It's called progressivism. It's called communism. It's called having one purse. It is called a sin. It is called an abomination. And that's what all these so-called vain name-taking Christians are doing today, and saying that it's okay because of Romans 13. That is a lie. So I wrote a whole book on it, At the Higher Liberty. Go read it. And then weep and repent and seek the kingdom of God. So anyway, we're talking about the other traditions of men who create socialist programs. And you know, you got to admit, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, you can see people's, their eyes just blur over when you point out that you're worried about health care. You know, this new Obamacare. Those of you who are feeling the pinch of socialism, and most of you that are feeling, I don't know about most, but a lot of you who are feeling the pinch of socialism with Obamacare are all worked up about it. And, you know, the Amish are exempt because they already have a system in place. And if you were real Christians, you would have a system in place too, and it would be called Christianity. And the churches don't have to worry about losing their 501c3 status, because none of them have a 501c3 status that can be taken away. They're churches. It's the ones that went and filed that can have that recognition taken away, because they wanted to have the recognition of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And you don't need that. And even they tell you you don't need that, but you go and get it anyway. You go and apply to them and say, will you be the overseer of my church? And yeah, we'll give you a letter of determination, but you're going to have to do things like we say, because now you're going to be strictly regulated. That's their words. They say the disadvantages, they say in their publications, they say the disadvantages of filing a 1023 with the IRS is that you will become strictly regulated. And then these churches are saying, you don't have a right to strictly regulate us. They told you that was going to be the result of that. Didn't you read it? No, I didn't read it. Was I supposed to read something? Yeah, you were supposed to read something. You're supposed to pay attention. You didn't even read the Bible. Oh, I read the Bible. No, you didn't read the Bible. You interpreted the Bible privately according to what you wanted it to say. People do that all the time. And now you're in hot water, and you're going to have to admit it. You're going to have to admit, I screwed up. I made a mistake. I was in error. And now I repent of that error. Now what do I do? Well, we'll show you. But I'm not going to waste time on pigs. You got to be turning around and seeking the kingdom of God. You show me your 501c3 incorporated churches actually starting to care about one another as much as you care about yourselves, where you're actually saying, let's see if we can help every single widow in this community, everybody who falls on hard times. We're going to see if we can help them in ways that will strengthen them. And actually, to be honest with you, I see churches starting to do this. But I'm after those that aren't starting to do this. And those that are starting to do this, I'm showing you how far this has to go. Because eventually, you don't want to just get everybody off of welfare in your church. You want to get them to stop seeking Social Security from men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority, because you as the church have become the benefactors of the people who don't exercise authority but operate by the perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity in a national and international network of people who care about one another as much as they care about themselves. This is so simple. It's embarrassing. I have to explain it over and over again. If you're not doing that, you're not the church established by Jesus Christ. Do you get that? If you're not doing that, you're not saved. Because you haven't forgiven your neighbor. You're going to say, I paid in, you have to pay in. For me. And if you're making people in your congregation have to say that or starve, then you're not attending to the daily ministration. You're not practicing pure religion. You don't know Christ, and you need to turn around and start finding out who Christ really was. And start being Christians as they were meant to be. Not those who take his name in vain, who are workers of iniquity, who have delivered the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt. You don't want to be that. You want to be something different. So you got to repent. So the last time we were talking about these traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and correlating them with Sinners Anonymous, trying to get off of this addiction to sin, this addiction to coveting our neighbor's goods through the agency of government, this socialist idea that it's okay to take from one class of citizen and give to another. We are addicted to that idea being true, and that is absolutely unchrist and false. Any more than Moses had the right to use his staff to smack the stone, you don't have the right to smack your neighbor to get him to contribute to your welfare. You're going to have to forgive the selfishness of your neighbor, even if you have to pull your own teeth out. You're going to have to start taking care of yourself. If you won't, you don't have any property rights. You don't have any right to own anything. You don't own your children. You ought to be in bondage, because the slothful should be under tribute. That's what the Bible says. So don't bother throwing away your Social Security number or your driver's license and pretending that you're in the kingdom unless you are gathering together with other people to take care of the daily ministration. And if you're not, you're a hypocrite and you're a foolish virgin. And the door is going to be slammed in your face. And all that you've done is going to be for naught. And I'm telling you because I love you. I want you to understand that, because I don't want your blood on my hands, because I didn't want to offend you. I didn't want to upset you. I didn't want to make you mad. You might not tithe to me. You know, you might leave my church. I don't care. You're not in it anyway, because you're not doing what Christ said, and that's my church. It isn't a corporate body of me. The corporate body of Christ is doing what Christ said. He said it. You're a worker of iniquity. You're a foolish virgin unless you're gathering together to become the social welfare of your society based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. If you're not doing that, you ain't doing Christ. So gather together. Join us at His Holy Church. Start finding other people. I mean, we're not binding you by contract. We're just giving witness to the fact that you are free assemblies that are seeking the ways of Christ. And we'll show you the way to do this in this fenced field. Because, you know, there's coming an earthquake, a shaking of the planet, of the whole world. You can think about your Nibirus and your polar shifts and all that. I'm talking spiritually here. And, of course, things that happen in the spiritual realm happen in the physical realm, too. But let's talk about the spiritual realm. All these walls are coming down. All these fences are coming down. The fences that keep out the evil and the fences that keep you away from the good. And everybody's going to get a chance to decide what flock they want to be a part of. Do you want to be a part of the flock of God? Or do you want to be the flock that goes over the cliff? You decide. It's your choice. I believe in free choice. So what are you choosing, life or death? It's up to you. So anyway, we were going over these traditions, and your traditions have been making the Word of God to none effect, and so we want to have the traditions of Christ. In other words, you want to have the Corban of Christ, therefore you want to have pure religion that takes care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. And so we were going over these traditions of AA and showing how they correspond to their traditions of Christ. And the last one we had was every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. So if you could just take care of the widows and orphans who are already on Social Security, great. If you could give enough contributions that you could replace their Social Security checks. Say they get a Social Security check of $1,300. Okay, can you, as a congregation, replace that? Probably not. But can you replace that which it provides and provide for that individual so that they do not have to go and get that Social Security check? And you say, well, wait a minute, they're entitled to that. They paid into it. They paid into it to take care of the needy in their day. If you're going to turn it into a debt, then you will remain in bondage. Until you forgive that debt of what they, the benefactors who exercise authority, owe you, then neither will your Father forgive you. You have to forgive their debt so that He can come and provide for you. If you already got the gods of the world providing for you, why would the God of heaven hear your voice? And how do the gods of the world provide for you? They take away from your neighbor. How does God provide to you? Out of His infinite abundance. When you start thinking in these terms, the whole gospel comes alive. He's actually talking about the real world that you live in and that you interact in. And He's expecting you to do it a certain way. And that's why the Christianity was called the Way. It's a different way. And that's why so many people have tried to distort the truth of His gospel. Superstition, you know, changing bread and changing wine into something else. And the same as they did with the Pharisees. Oh, we're supposed to kill sheep and set them on fire on top of rocks. And we show you in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, that those stones were people. Those sheep were sacrifices, but and they were consumed. They were freely given offerings to take care of the needy of their society. They weren't blowing smoke. They were practical people. And they did this so they didn't have to go to benefactors who ruled in places like Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where you guys live today. So after that number seven of declining outside contributions, you're so addicted. I don't know if you can go cold turkey, but you better start heading in the direction of the kingdom, because you're going to go cold turkey, because they're going to demand your tally of bricks and they're not going to give you any benefits at all. Not to amount to anything. Once you get runaway inflation, it's not going to amount to anything. Self-supporting. Luke 8. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God that was at hand, you know, folks. And the 12 men, the 12 were with him. 12. Why 12? Because these are the ministers that he was appointing over his congregation of ministers. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalena, out of whom went even seven devils. And that's another whole story of what that really was. But here's the critical line. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Remember in the epistles where Paul says, though he was rich, he made himself poor? Christ did that, and we could explain all that, but we won't get this show done if we do. Why he said that? Because Christ was actually very rich, extremely rich, extremely rich family. But he gave that all up to be this minister after John the Baptist, who was a Levite and minister of the gospel of the kingdom. And he gave it up to become one of John the Baptist's ministers. And that's why John says, this is the one who's to follow after me. He's to be my replacement minister. This is the one I think you should trust. Because, I mean, this guy is way better than me. It wasn't until later that John realized, are you the one, the Messiah, priest and king? You see, Christ wasn't born a Levite. He was by adoption. His father was dead. His cousin, who was older, said, you know, he could become a Levite by adoption. This happened all the time throughout the Testaments. So Christ was a priest, a rabbi. He's called rabbi. And he's gathering a flock of ministers who were his students. That's what he was doing. And who was John the Baptist? His dad was in the Holy of Holies. His dad. And now John is literally the high priest of those who are following the way of faith, hope, and charity and free will offerings. This is what's going on. But then John says, are you going to be the king too? He has to send messengers to ask that question. He didn't understand at the beginning. But he was beginning to realize it. Jesus wouldn't even answer, because he knew that Jesus was going to be king because you accepted him as king. And thousands did. Somebody said the other day to one of our ministers, talking about Pentecost, says, oh, you mean those few thousand of Jews? Because they think that the kingdom has been postponed. What an abomination of an idea. Postponed. What are they? I forgot what they even call that. Something, postponement theology or something. I can't even remember. It escapes me right now what they call it. But he says, oh, you mean those few thousand who were converted at Pentecost? It's 3,000 one day, 5,000 the next, and we're talking families. So right there, that's 8,000 families. How many thousands do you want every day in one city alone? I mean, within a few short years, the Christians were so predominant that when Rome burned, that they wanted to blame it all on them. Thousands and thousands and thousands, all the way to Ephesus, they're saying these are the ones that say there is another king. Everybody knew that he was a king. They knew it. The only one who doesn't know it is the modern Christians, and they don't think he's a king. He's been postponed because we're going to go to the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority one over the other and take from our neighbor so that we can have benefits. And you think you're following or believe in Christ? You don't even believe he's the Christ. What does the Christ mean? Anointed. Why do they call him anointed? Because David was anointed. David was called Messiah. Messiah. Anointed. Christ was called anointed. He was the king, for gosh sakes, of a government. Even Rome says he's the king. This is the king of Judea. This is the king of Judea. This is the king of Judea. He's seen in the royal treasury telling the ministers what they can do and can't do. He's firing the porters of the temple, the money changers. He's doing everything the king is supposed to do. Why haven't you figured out yet that he was the king? But how was his kingdom supported? Through free will offerings instead of statutory requirements of a government gone mad. It's Joanna chooses Herod's steward. In other words, the treasurer. I mean, for God's sakes, Paul's talking to the treasurer of Corinth, saying, you guys ought to do it this way. You ought to do it through free will offerings. And the Corinthians, who once were a great people, are starting to think, you know, yeah, we've gone the wrong way on this. We aren't our walls anymore. We've become socialists too. So when did the United States become a socialist nation? With Obamacare? You can go back to 1800s. We were already starting socialism back then with public schools. Public schools is a socialist program. Federal Reserve, that's a socialist money system. 1913, 1916, 1933. Social Security, that's socialism. It's just getting too much to swallow. It's going to get stuck in your throat. Sweet in the mouth and sour in the belly. Number 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our services centers may employ special workers. We have the same thing. That's amazing. The ministers of Christ are not professionals. They don't get a salary. They come together in small groups of brothers and work in a body we call an order, but that's just a congregation of ministers. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not simply congregations. It's a kingdom composed of congregations, and congregations are free assemblies composed of families, and those families have a priest and king in each one of those families called husband and wife. And if a husband dies or neglects his responsibility, then though his widow indeed or widow by neglect should be able to go to the church. But if you're not already going to the church before you have a need, then how do we know that you really aren't one of those pigs that we're not to cast our pearls before? How do we know you haven't been working at the kingdom? And he who does not work should not receive. Now, we may choose to give to you anyway, but don't count on it, because you didn't even bother to gather together in his name. Now, you guys who gather together and say his name with your mouth, but do not live his ways with your life, don't tell me you're a Christian, because I don't believe it. You tell me, but show me, because I don't see it. And if Christ was in you, I would see you doing it. Now, I admit that amongst every single church out there, there's probably at least one Christian. Because most of them can't even survive without a couple of Christians doing all the work. The others just go to show up and feel good. But the ones who do the work, they might be Christians. Because that's the union and discipline of Christianity. Amazed even the emperors themselves. And that's why long before Constantine, the emperors were giving back property that had been improperly taken from the church, because the church had all kinds of property. They had to have property to do the job, to feed their ministers and to feed the people and to be refuges for the people when there was wars and famines and what have you. That was a job. That's a government job. They were the FEMA of Christ. The faith emergency ministry auxiliary of Christ, operating by faith, hope, and charity. And you can see it, that there's charitable groups all over the world that are starting to operate this way, but they need to operate this way according to Christ entirely. And so even though they have taken some of these steps, we would like to gather together with the people of that same spirit and start doing the work of Christ in a real way and set the example of Christ. And we have ways in which to do that. Instruments that operate in the world, but not of it. Instruments that can help us interact with the world. And all those institutions, we preach the kingdom. We publish the kingdom. The word preach there means to actually make a record. And that's what we're doing with Friends of His Church and His Church and His Holy Church. These are entities that are created according to what the early church was doing, which the modern church is not doing and needs to repent and start doing. It also says that their organization ought never be organized. Now, that's interesting. The word organized has a number of different meanings, and a lot of people are very much against the idea of organizing. But we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. But they say never be organized. Well, they're talking about organized and becoming an organ, a corporation of, you know, these, where it becomes this body. And of course, His Church are free assemblies. They're not organized in that sense, But they are organized in the same way that a father counts his sons. He's taking account. He's saying, hey, you know, we got, I mean, they do this all the time in AA. You know, you've got this buddy system going on within their little group, but you have this overall group that keeps track of the individual buddy groups. This is the way they organize, the buddy system times 10. They do this. Why? Because it makes sense. What do you think? The gospel doesn't make sense? You're addicted to sin. How are you going to stop without gathering together? Because you're going to need Christ. And where do you find Christ? You find him in the hearts and minds of those who walk in his ways. But you've been gathering with ministers who don't know Christ, that are workers of iniquity, and they've taken you back to bondage so that you say, I want my teeth fixed, and I don't care how much your children go into debt. I don't care how much power you give these men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I just want my teeth fixed. I just want my health care. I just want my free education. I just want my Social Security check so I can go play golf. Well, you're not going to get on God's greens when you die, because you don't know him. You're a worker of iniquity. Organized from the bottom up, this is what you need to do. You're organized, but like those sheep in the field we were talking about in the previous show, they gather together and nobody's tied them together, but they're organized. They're organized in little groups that gather together in a bigger group out there in the field. And those of you who didn't hear the earlier show, out here at his church in Oregon, we have sheep ranging. You know, you can go to our front gate right now. It's wide open. Sheep are in the field. They don't leave. You can't do that with farm flocks who've been fenced for generation after generation after generation. They'd be going out the gate and going everywhere. They'd be going everywhere. The farm flocks. Because they don't know how to be free sheep. And you don't know how to be a free people. Because you won't organize yourselves from the bottom up. Yeah. His church is a free assembly. It's independent. Each family within that remains totally independent within that free assembly. They're not organized in that sense. But they are organized in the sense that they know enough to come together. Otherwise, the gray wolf will eat them up. You're organized from the bottom up. And why do you do that? Why would you do that? Because you love one another. Isn't that amazing? You love one another. But you're gathered together in the elements of the world, which is why Galatians says in 4:3, even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Elements is defined as any first thing. It's elements, rudiments, primary, and that's how you're bound, is by these adhesion contracts that you applied for in order to become members of this social welfare system. Galatians 4:9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements of that world, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage by applying for the gifts, gratuities, and benefits of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. It's so simple. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after their traditions, those systems of Corbin, of men, after the rudiments of the world, the constitutional orders and systems of government, and not after Christ, who operates by faith, hope, and charity alone. There are no socialists in heaven. None. There are absolutely none. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, that the words rudiments and elements are the same, and the word world there means constitutional order or system of governments, as though living in the world, are ye now subject to ordinances. Why are you subject? Because you're really not doing what Christ. You're not dead in Christ. You're not alive in his ways. And that's what we're trying to show you, how to become alive. And that's what we're going to be showing you in the next half hour. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're talking about the Kingdom of God. We're talking about the traditions of Christ and the traditions of the world and the traditions of a lot of other people. Someone just sent me something, and it's quoting, looks like it's out of a book or something. It's a definition of salvation. Salvation is a free gift without any works whatsoever. And then they quote Ephesians 2:8-9. And of course it is, even if you don't do any works at all, you can have salvation, but how do you know you have it? Because Christ died that you might be saved, but you may not qualify. And you say, well, I've repented and I believe in Jesus Christ, but anybody could say that. Liars say it all the time. So that doesn't make it so. You cannot do enough works to be saved. Got it? Write it down. But if you're not doing the works of Christ, then I question whether you've been saved. Because if you have received Christ, you would do as Christ said. And that's why Christ says, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. So works are evidence of your salvation. If there are no works, then there is no salvation. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. And so we have to stop. Everybody who keeps emphasizing that you don't need any works to be saved are just trying to pad their pews with people who will give them something. And they make big, huge churches that everybody goes to and they sing and they raise their hands and they wave them in the air, but they aren't doing what Christ said. And he said very clearly that he was going to tell them, you workers of iniquity. And why did he say these are the workers of iniquity? And the other ones who didn't even know they were Christians, he says, you come into my kingdom. What was he using as a criteria of that choice when he rejected one group and accepted another? He used what they were doing, the works, as the criteria of his choice, which is why in Revelation it says you will be judged according to your works. Not because you did enough, but because you were doing what Christ said. You gave drink to me when I was thirsty. We don't even remember doing that. When you gave it to one of my little ones, it was counted as if you gave it to me. That's his plan. The guys who say, oh, you don't need to do anything, you're just saved, just believe this, and then go out with a big smile on your face and be happy because you're saved. And all those guys who thought they were going to be saved and thought they were doing things in his name. Look, we got 10,000 people that come to this stadium and they all came up for an altar call. And look at that. Isn't that great, Jesus? Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity, because you seduced all these people into thinking they were saved when they didn't even know what they were supposed to do. And they did not do it when they went home. And they continued to go to the men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority. They continued to rob widows and orphans. I had people who think they're Christians voting for an increase and a continuation of inheritance tax. Nothing robs widows and orphans more than inheritance tax. And there they are voting for it, saying, yeah, we're saved, but we're voting so that the benefactors who exercise authority can take more from the widows and orphans so I can get my teeth fixed. In New Zealand. You are condemned out of your own mouth. You don't know it because you're one of the zombies of the apocalypse. And I'm telling you, repent. Make straight the way of the Lord. Start going the other way. This definition goes on. I'd love to know what book this abomination came out of. Salvation is not dependent upon walking the aisle, joining the church, being baptized, turning over a new leaf, repenting of your sins. Not. You don't have to repent. turning from your sins, forsaking your sins, confessing your sins, asking for forgiveness of your sins, or inviting Christ into your heart. Forgiveness is available to all who believe that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and that God forgave us for Christ's sake. He died that ye might be saved. If you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Christ said that. You guys are making this up. Salvation is trusting completely in what Christ did on our behalf on Calvary. And while you're doing that, you get to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority to provide for you in your old age. Even though you've got 5 sons who could do it for you, you want men to go out and take from your neighbor because all that you contributed was just paying into your own welfare, and you want it back because you never were giving to real charity. You hypocrite. And I'm going to send a copy of this recording to the guy who sent this to me, who I've known for a long time, and he's really a pretty good guy, but he is falling for this false religionity of the modern church that has deceived the whole world and brought them back into the bondage of Egypt, where God said you were never ever to go to again, and you have forsaken the salvation of Christ. You have forsaken the kingdom that was at hand and gone whoring after other gods and gone under them because you have applied to them, prayed to them for benefits at the expense of your neighbor. We don't homeschool just because it's a better way to get an education. We do it because we don't covet our neighbor's goods. We aren't socialists, and we aren't social securityists either. We're not looking for social security. We're looking to Christ and His salvation and His way, because all the early church, when they got baptized, they repented and got baptized. They repented from the sin of coveting their neighbor's goods through the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect because Christ said so. Were they saved automatically because they did that? No. They had to actually walk the walk. They couldn't walk the walk without Christ in them. You are not saved because you say the magic words. And that is a distortion of the gospel of Paul. As Paul says over and over again, he hadn't even done away with the law. God forbid. But you cannot produce your own salvation with your cleverness. You have to really repent and receive Christ in you. If you can't do that here, heaven will be held to you when you get there. Because the character of those who follow Christ is Christ. Those who receive the salvation of Christ. Why did so many people touch Christ and not be saved, not be healed? But only certain ones were healed because they had real faith. Real faith. True faith. And people have to stop preaching this false gospel because it's lulled people into destruction. It's bringing the whole world into destruction. And you can't stop it, but you can decide what part of the equation you want to be on. What side? Christ's side or the other side? Moses gave you that choice. Hey, you guys can go that way or you can go this way, the way of God. And those that decided not to go the way of God, well, they were blotted out. If you don't want to go the way of Christ, then you haven't received Christ. And you haven't received His salvation. You only receive His salvation when you really accept who Christ was in your heart and in your mind. And if you can't do that, then repeating magic words isn't going to do it either. But anyway, we won't finish our topic for today if I don't get back to our topic for today. but I had to take that little sidetrack. We were reading Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, if ye be dead with Christ, if ye be dead with Christ, from the rudiments, the elements, same word, of the world, what word, world? The constitutional order or system of government. That's what there says that means, because there's five different words that are translated into world. Why, as though living in the world, which we can do, we can live in the world, but not of it, are ye subject to ordinances? Why? Because you've been applying to them for benefits. That's why. Because you sold your children for deductions and benefits and free education and free Social Security and free health care. And you're complaining that the voice of the people now say, oh, it's too much now. We elected these men who could exercise authority, but now it's too much. And we're going to cry out to God to save us. And what did he say? He said, I will not hear you in that day. Oh, but you don't have to worry. You're saved, right? Oh, yeah, right. He's not even going to hear you. Now, I know that deep down, some of you are actually getting this and starting to turn around. And God will hear you. He'll run out and meet you halfway. But you do have to repent. You do have to repent. From the beginning, repent and be baptized. You got to change your ways. And you cannot change them yourself, as we've already gone over and over and over again. You have to be changed. You have to be made new. And part of that being made new is to realize that it's wrong to send men out to your neighbor's house to collect for your welfare. Whether it's school or fire departments or police departments, it's wrong. Israel operated by free will offerings from one end to the other. Their courts, everything was free will offerings. They gave a little tiny token in the tax. Little tiny token, just to, like a golden ring when you get married. I give you this ring. With this ring, I thee wed. It's my token. But what really makes you husband and wife is what you do the rest of the week, the rest of the year, the rest of your life. And that took a lot more free will offerings to make the kingdom of God a reality for those people. The Old Testament wasn't that much different than what the New Testament message was. It was really very much the same. Always was. God didn't change his mind. Oh, let's try something different. He says he's the same from the beginning to the end. Let's get back to reality. Get your head out of your religious quagmire. Hebrews 5:12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. That word principles, same word as rudiments and elements that we saw in all those other quotes. First elements, rudiments of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Just start caring about one another enough so that you don't have to send anybody to the benefactors who exercise. That's huge. That's huge, and that's something you have to learn. You guys can't even walk in the kingdom. You're like toddlers crawling around on the floor. But that's okay. You can learn to walk. You got to work at it, though. Strive. That's why Christ said strive. These guys are saying, oh, you don't have to strive. Christ said strive. Oh, no, you don't have to strive. Don't listen to Christ. That's the gospel of Satan. You want eternal life? You got to keep the commandments. You can't do it with your own will. That's the essential part of overcoming the addiction to the benefits of the world. Is that you cannot do it yourself. It has to be done in you. You have to approach this from a humble standpoint. But if you're not doing, that's evidence that you do not have the faith of God. If you're still praying to the benefactors to exercise authority, you got more to do. Because you have more to learn. Because you need more Christ in you. Once you have Christ in you, really in you all the way, in every corner, cleaning out your house, cleaning out every corner of your house, then things change. Till then, you're just under a strong delusion. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now people think of this as nuclear war and everything. That's the same word elements that we see over here as principles. The principles of the world. In other words, the unrighteous mammon's going to fail. That's why he says, be friends with the unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, and we could explain that later, we're not going to have time right now. You can call me on Blog Talk sometime and we'll explain that. Shall melt with a fervent heat. What is he talking about? He's not talking. Now, there may be nuclear explosion someday, but that's not what that's talking about. It's the elements of the world that are going to break down and fall apart in a big traumatic way. And you see it coming. But you're not really walking in the ways of Christ. You haven't really accepted Christ. You're still preaching a gospel that is contrary to what Christ said himself out of his mouth. I mean, what doctrines do you have in his church but his doctrines, what he said? You go and take bits and pieces of Paul and you twist them around and create a whole new religion with it. But you have to shut Christ out in order to do it, because Christ said not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. And you're saying those who just say these magic words. No, no. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall dissolve and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And that may come. But everything that physically comes has a spiritual reality to it. Anyway, number 10. Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Okay, let's take it back to the church. His church has an opinion about morality, and we may use examples in the world, such as governments around the world, what they're doing, because that's what people are doing, because governments are a composite of people, and we're saying, look, they're socialists, they're coveting their neighbor's goods, they're forcing their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. That's our interest. We're not interested in changing Caesars. We're interested in changing hearts. We're not trying to change other governments, but change our own hearts in relationship with God, and therefore living in the world, but not of the world. And thus, therefore, if the world wants to go those ways, I mean, governments are instituted to punish the wicked. And they're usually instituted by wicked people who have rejected God. The first place you see the voice of the people electing a leader who could exercise authority, God refers to it as a rejection of him. So why can you elect leaders now and it not be a rejection of him? It is a rejection of him. It still is. Same principles. God is the same then, same now. Your election of leaders who can exercise authority, take your sons and daughters, make their instruments of war. All this is covered in Proverbs. I mean, in Samuel. It's actually covered in Proverbs, too. You face it. You're gone the wrong way. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on the attraction rather than the promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. They don't want one personality raising up. And in our network, I don't want to be the only personality that everybody keeps looking to. You have to get off of that addiction too. You have to gather together in your local congregation. I still have people who have local congregations not far from them, and they're calling me. And I will take the call as long as I am physically able. And I will try to talk with them. But I encourage them to gather together in your local congregations. If you can't do it there, you don't look to me. I'm not going to be your guru. I'm going to preach the kingdom, make straight the way of the Lord, which refers to works and what you're actually doing. Repent. I mean, these people are saying, you don't even have to repent. You don't have to seek the kingdom. You don't have to strive. All these things Christ said you had to do, but they're saying, oh, you don't have to do any of that. I'm going to take Paul out of context, and all we have to do is say these magic words and we're saved. They are liars. They have accepted a lie. They're under a strong delusion and they need to repent. Because they're not doing what Christ said. They're doing what somebody concocted so that they can feel good about the sins they commit every day. You must increase as a witness of Christ. A Christ must increase in you. And if you continue to bear witness, he will grow in you. Like the crops, the seeds. If you don't, you will wither. And you will be doing contrary to the ways of God. And you will be called into account for the works that you do. Number 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. The network is developing a life of its own. The local ministers, stumbling as they do, as we all do, are connecting people who are also stumbling and learning to support one another because they're learning to give up their life so that they may have life more abundant. That is what you all have to do. You have to do it on a local basis, but not forgetting the kingdom. Your ministers should gather with other ministers as much as they possibly can. We have neglected so long, there's a lot of overtime required. We have to dedicate ourselves completely to seeking the kingdom, not only for ourselves, but for others. We gather together not to save ourselves, but to save others, because that is the nature of Christ. As many as I love, I also rebuke. So then when you see the people preaching these false gospels, these do-nothing gospels, these not striving, seeking gospels, contrary to what Christ said. He said to have eternal life, you keep the commandments. He's telling you that. And why are the commandments also called signposts? Is because if you're not keeping the commandments, if you're coveting your neighbor's goods, if you're a part of a socialist state, if you're praying for the Corbin of the Pharisees at your Social Security office, which is what it is. Go read the article on Corbin. Corbin of the Pharisees. Go to hisholychurch.org and go to the outline page and, you know, just type in hisholychurch.org/outline. It should open up and look, push, what is it, CTRLF, and down there or up there, there'll be a little box. Open up and type in the word Corbin. There's two or three articles on Corbin. And Christ said it was making the word of God to none effect. So how can you tell me that you believe in Christ, you've accepted Christ, and you're out there daily participating in a system that makes the word of God to none effect? Your profession of faith is a lie, unless you have real faith. And praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, praying to the gods of this world, making the state your father. Read Call No Man on Earth Father. I mean, it's right there in the biblical text. But they got you under a strong delusion. And you should be working for Christ, and you're not. And Christ is going to call you to account. But he's not going to call me to account, or at least I hope not, because I am struggling every day to get this message out to you and to anybody else. And I'm willing to do that, and I'm happy to do that. You can't hardly keep me from doing that. And as many as I love, I'm also going to rebuke, because that is the nature of Christ. If you're preaching a do-nothing gospel, you're preaching a lie. So don't go by the traditions of these false teachers who have delivered the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt, worse than it ever was in Egypt, where 50 million children are being aborted. Why? That's a symptom of the economic woes of your society, of the breakdown of the family that comes with every socialist state. And where did socialism begin? Again, back public schools, public police departments, public fire departments. It's all an abomination before God. And it's time we repent and make straight the way of the Lord. And until then, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.